It's time for Cofield and Company Live at Silver Sevens Hotel and Casino.
So, I mean, I hate to say it, but you look like a terrible team. It's the truth. Yeah, I mean, you're not good at anything.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, okay?
I want my roast to have a happy ending.
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
Good long conversation in the 3 o'clock hour with a local legend, been a Las Vegan for a long time, Randy Couture. Only bad part is, man, we still can't get him, can we? He just will not rip people.
No.
We've tried in probably dozens of interviews with that guy.
Except the airline.
He started getting worked up. Yeah. That was great, too. I'm like, I know when you're mad. And it was like an abortion argument. I'm like, I don't care about that. I remember I saw him, and I was kind of shocked by it, because he just doesn't do that, just flipping out over Delta, effing him over. So dynamite.
I get it. It gets everyone. It gets everyone all the time.
Who's going to stay calm in these situations?
Nobody, but you always get on people for travel, like media people with the travel tweets, but sometimes when you travel that much, it just gets obnoxious.
Once every like 10 years is fine. If you're Peter King, that sloth, and you're writing about it in your column every week, we don't care. All right? Boo-hoo. Adam Hill is here. It's Cofield. Angel as well. Ari's back in the Findlay Toyota Studios. Here is Silver Sevens football game, Thursday night football game. I actually think this is a good game. You were actually off the air. We'll have to tell a story about Jeremy walking up, and you dropped the line like, you have to gamble to watch this game. I think it's a pretty good game, and there's a lot on the line, especially for the Jaguars. I mean, this is not going in the right direction, and there's certainly the intriguing storyline of Jalen Ramsey playing or not playing. He's going to play. Big Five time.
Battle Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Four. Number five.
I'm all about the story. I love sport and sporting challenges.
Yeah.
I like trying to call people on the carpet who I'm like, you can't play sports.
But your favorite thing is, I'll beat you at anything. Give me an activity and I'll beat you at it.
Well, I've changed it. First of all, I've changed it to, like, if we compete in, like, 10 different sporting activities, I'm probably going to be good enough at least half of them to beat you. And I also, you realize, I do it many times. Like, I'm firing at people who will never fire back. So it's like, I don't care that Charles Barkley played in the NBA. He's 200 pounds overweight, and you can see he has no hand-eye with, you know, bat and ball, club and ball. He's a terrible athlete. Which people always get mad at that, but, like, he's not a hand-eye athlete aside from basketball.
Right.
So, like, give me – if we – right away, if we're, like, four different hand-eye sports, I don't know, let's do baseball, tennis, ping pong. What else? You want a bowl? You want – I mean, I was going to say archery, but I'm actually terrible. My aim's awful. But I can find, in a set of 10 activities, like, I can compete with some old-ass athlete. Because a lot of athletes look at media guys, and especially this, I'm pointing at myself – I'm horrendous now.
Well, I'm amazed.
I'm 75 pounds overweight. I'm almost 50, but I'm decent at everything.
I'm amazed. Let that one settle. I'm amazed that, like, standing on the field before games now, Raiders games, and you see guys who are professional football players who can't throw a football.
Actually, I'm amazed at the opposite, because when I sit on the sidelines at these UNLV games, I'm actually surprised how many of the players, like linemen and everyone, can actually throw a pretty nice spiral.
Yeah.
You're seeing a lot of Raiders games who can't?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Where I'm like, oh, what is that?
So do we have a case of someone trying to – and again, my approach is to punch up. And I mentioned Barkley, but generally it's someone who is a good athlete. They're either a former pro athlete, current pro athlete. So, like, of course, if I fail, so what? They beat the, you know, aging 75-pound overweight guy.
Right, but this quote from a presidential candidate is – it could be from you. Like, I feel like I've heard you say this quote before. So Andrew Yang, who's running for president on the Democratic side, came out and said, quote, I'd challenge Donald Trump to any physical or mental feat under the sun.
Mental feat, too,
yeah.
But let's go physical.
He said, I mean, gosh, what could that guy beat me at? Being a slob? He said something that involved, like, trying to keep something on the ground and having really large body mass. Like, if there was a hot air balloon that was rising and you needed to try to keep it on the ground, he'd be better than me at that because he's so fat.
I mean, that's an easy target.
Of course.
DJT's what, 73, 74? Yeah. And he's also is like 70 pounds overweight. He's an old man.
Sure. But Andrew Yang now, I think, is following up on this, because on Twitter he just threw out, first of all, I don't know how I feel about this to begin with, but he just threw out highlights from his pickup game yesterday.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he wants it. He wants it.
He's like, here, this is my pickup game. Here's some highlights. Now, the first one, it's one of the back down moves kind of in the post. Just a fake to the inside, get the defender on the hip.
Okay.
And then kind of pivots to the baseline for a little bank shot. Not bad. It's a decent little move.
Is his glass work as good as Bernie Sanders?
I think so, because he's actually moving, and he has a defender, unlike Bernie, who just stands in the lane and throws it off the glass. In this case, he also has another one, which people are trashing him for, but I'm actually going to defend him on this one.
Trashing him for?
They are, because he tries the same move from the other side, and the defender just jumps to the baseline. Like, he's not going for the fake. He's going to the baseline. So Yang reverse pivots and just turns around for an easy jumper in the lane, and people are like, oh, the defender's nowhere close. Yeah, the defender was trying to play the move from before. Yeah. He set him up for that move.
Got him thinking.
That's an impressive move to me. I like that one. So there's some decent highlights on here. Now, clearly, he would destroy Trump. I mean, there's no question. But
would he beat Obama? I thought Obama was always overrated. Way too left-hand centric. I think you could easily push him to his right. I think he was lost. I don't think he has a right hand.
Yeah, and people just
Bob Cousy-esque with just a one-hand dribble.
People just assumed Obama was good because obviously he talked about it a lot, and because he's black, people are racist. They're like, oh, he's a good basketball player.
We watched him play some pickup games. I think, like, I don't know, HBO did an interview with him. He's solid.
No, he's good.
I just think he's got to work on his right hand.
Yeah, but people were like, oh, this guy's an amazing basketball player. No, he's not. He's very one-dimensional. He's a reverse.
There's nothing better than you and I.
we would both destroy him.
From parts unknown and combined weight, just too much to even mention on the air. We're like, we're just breaking down someone's hoopage game.
Right, but we would destroy him. I mean, he wasn't good.
I can't
he
really
was
move.
Good for a president.
Yeah.
But Yang
I think I need to play horse now.
Yang's kind of the same. Yang's not a good player. He's just good for a presidential candidate. And his jumper actually doesn't look too bad.
Here's the thing, though. You got to be really careful with some sports, like especially basketball, because there's different versions of basketball. And, like, pop a shot's not basketball.
Yeah.
Pop a shot is a completely different skill. Like, when I do pop a shot, I'm trying to have my hand in the right place. I'm trying to follow through, the freaking elbow in. And, like, we had one of those listener get-together, like, old guy triathlete things, and VGK Frank is out there, and I'm like, this guy is like, he's just gunning the ball at the backboard. In Papa Shot, he's scoring like 90.
Well,
I can't get the shots off quick enough because I'm worried about the form. He's just one-handed throwing it in.
That's how you Papa Shot.
I don't like that.
That's how you do it, though. Now, I will say, there's been some speculation out there that whoever's covering him is kind of letting him get off a little bit.
No.
But this clip here, there's a 2-on-2 game. The defender is way off, way too far off for a 2-on-2. And then he allows him to kind of, get his jumper off. But still catches it in rhythm, one foot back, sets up, shoots it, knocks it down. Like, pretty decent jumper.
I mean, you're not going to question someone's objectivity when it comes to a politician playing basketball. I mean, if you're defending Yang, you're on the base. You're not even going near him.
Well, no,
to help his cause.
No, he's at the elbow.
Oh, you would just back down to the lane and be like, well, he's a Democrat, so that's it. I'm out.
Oh, he's not my guy.
I still think you would play less than stellar defense.
No, I'm DNO.
You'd have pride. No matter what party it is, you have pride.
Yeah, if he's 40 feet away, I'm not stepping out. You know that.
Yeah, we know that, yeah.
But if at the elbow, if you're covering him, yeah, I'm gonna try to lock down at the elbow.
All right, next up.
Number 4.
Should Colin Kaepernick have his agent call teams, because they're doing it?
What makes sense? No, I don't.
Is that simply to, you believe he wants to play, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I would say, is it the number one narrative now of anti-cap people that he really doesn't want to play? Because you see that,
yeah, of course.
It's the same five arguments against Kaepernick in social media posts. It's the same people. They're never going to change their mind. Their motivation, I think, is different than just purely a football breakdown. What teams did he call the agent?
The Steelers. your Jets,
which, you know what?
Do it.
Yes. Yeah. You know what? Woody Johnson.
You're going to trot Luke Falk out there?
I mean, it's not Luke Falk that gives me a problem. It's David Fales is the guy you call. He's that list of five guys that everyone calls by, like, game six. He sucks. Stop. There's no upside.
The Jets would be the team. I mean, the Jets aren't playing for the playoffs anyway.
Well, frankly,
see what he's got.
Here's the other big narrative, right? Oh, he'd be a distraction. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yes.
They need it. They don't need it to have any of their guys talking to anyone. What do you want to have them answer questions about Mono for the next 5 weeks?
Yeah.
Bring in Cap, Circus. You know what? Set up press conferences. I don't care. It's not going to affect the team. It's going to help the team.
Of course. And
they don't have to talk. You think the Jets next week are going to want to talk about the aftermath of the Patriots game? No, bring in Cap. No one's getting anything out about the Patriots to any of the actual players.
If you're the Panthers, your coach clearly doesn't want to talk about Cam. I guarantee if you sign Cap, you're going to get questions about something besides Cam Newton.
I can't believe the Panthers won't call him.
And he also,
I'm shocked by it. We started talking about this last year when Cam Newton went down. First of all, it's a bullcrap excuse, but the excuse that, well, you know, with Kaepernick, you had to run a different system. Come on. Cam Newton and Cap, you could run the same system. And who else did they call?
Well, the Saints, which, I mean, the Saints are set.
I'll say the Saints are set.
Yeah.
Taysom Hill's an interesting option, and obviously Teddy Bridgewater is the highest paid backup.
And Breeze will be back. Breeze will be back soon. So, I mean, the Saints is kind of that's a ridiculous one. The Jets should 1,000,000% sign Colin Kaepernick. There's zero question about that. And now,
just be interesting in any way other than stupid memes with Sam Darnold on it.
The Panthers obviously should be in the running too. Sign him. January 1st, 2017, his last game in the NFL.
Top three stories.
Number three.
So we hit on Ron Rivera a little bit last hour. Again, tell people what happened with Rivera today. Panthers press conference, and Rivera's a very even keeled guy. So I'm surprised he did it, but he pulled the walkout.
Well, he tried to start his press conference by saying basically no Cam Newton questions, and four of the first six questions were about Cam Newton, and then he just walked off. And he's like, I said I'm not going to answer questions. We're done today.
I mean, you can't do that.
No.
People have jobs to do. The other thing is you're answering questions for the fans. The fans want to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And honestly, if I'm a Panthers fan, I want to know who do you have behind Cam Newton? Again, we've been talking about this for months because we knew something was going to happen with him. With a bum shoulder, now his foot, you had a mix in the preseason of freaking Kyle Allen and Taylor Heineke, and this is embarrassing.
Will Greer.
No, it's so stupid.
And I think it completely is valid in the sense that Cam Newton, we knew, was completely injured last year, could barely play.
And was not going to come back at 100% after shoulder surgery.
Had surgery, and you didn't know where he was.
Dr. Cofield guaranteed that. Yeah. I know shoulders.
And now,
I know medicine.
And now he comes back, and two games into the season, you're already panicked about what's wrong with him. He's in a walking boot. The shoulder doesn't seem to be 100%. There seems to be issues. These are very valid questions about what is going on with Cam. Is this long-term? Is this for this week? What is his status right now? He was in a walking boot. They never said he was, but there's pictures that surfaced on Reddit, of all places, of Cam Newton at the airport in a walking boot. Like, there is legitimate concern and question about what his status is going forward. Is he – there was a national host yesterday that said he's basically done. So this is a very legitimate question to be asking. And if you don't want to talk about it, there's easy ways to just say, listen, we're still gathering information about Cam. We're not sure what his status is. Whatever you want to say. You know you're going to have to say it. Say it five times in a row if you want.
Yeah.
It's obnoxious, but you're going to get the questions.
God, if they don't have Cam Newton this week, I hope they lose 45-0. Let me tell you something else about that market. And by the way, they're playing the Cardinals.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, against 45, that defense, if you don't score, that's bad.
45-0 against the Cardinals would be pretty freaking rough. And in that market, because they're sort of pro sports fans, but they're really, it's a college market. If Cam Newton's not playing the rest of the year and they're terrible, watch what the crowds look like there. I mean, we're talking like 15,000 a game.
Especially when the Hurricanes start up again and college basketball.
Yep.
Good luck.
Top two.
Number two.
You know, Ron Rivera has been on some lists that say he's going to be the first coach fired. I don't believe that. I think he's got enough equity. I also don't think David Tepper's that kind of guy. Pat Shurmur could be that guy, one of the head coaches who could be out of a job sooner than later. What's the latest with Pat as he's having to deal with this Eli, Daniel Jones thing, and on top of it, you're in New York, and the New York media can be just complete bastards.
Yeah, and so Pat Shurmur has a weekly spot with your boy, Mike Francesa,
yep,
who you drafted in the sports radio host draft.
He's the number 27 pick. I could pick any sports talk host in the country, and I could not believe at the bottom of the first round that Francesa was still available. He's still got it, baby. He's still got it. He's the one who built this whole thing. I get him at 27. Let's go. And you know what? We've played a lot of audio from him, and sometimes he doesn't have it. Sometimes he slipped, but there are a lot of times you're like, that's why he's good.
Okay. Maybe. Now,
I bet you this is good.
The story is out there that I'm sure a lot of people have seen. We're going to get into more details of it. But the story is Shurmur is contractually obligated to go on Francesa's show once a week through the Giants.
Ooh.
The Giants have now canceled that weekly appearance.
Right. And by the way, Francesa claims that, well, Francesa pulled out of training camp shows because he was told that Dave Gettleman, the GM, who is loquacious with everyone else and wants to pound his chest because he's a smart football guy, he was told that Gettleman would not appear. So Francesa was like, I'm not going out
there.
He
was right about Daniel Jones. He's already claiming that he was right. He's never played a game.
So Big Mike's already on edge.
So
now
yes.
What? So the Giants are pulling the Shurmur spot, which is a contracted deal.
Right. So I heard this. I read it. And I saw he's no longer going to go on the show. And I was like, what a wimp. What are you doing? Go on the show. And then I listened to the interview. I don't know that the Giants are completely in the wrong here.
Really? You're not going to back the sports radio guy? Media guy, you're not going to back the sports radio guy?
There's something about softballing questions, which I admit that I have done. And I don't like it. And I hear myself back, and I'm like, why'd you do that? And I hear other people do it, and I'm like, why are you doing that? But there is a difference between softballing questions and just being obnoxious.
He doesn't care. He's
bigger. Fine, then you don't get the guy. That's fine.
He believes that he's bigger than any coach who's ever been in New York. That's his brand.
That's fine. But then you don't get the, like, you can't, and it can't be like, well, you're not coming on the show anymore. We're not going to sit here and listen to you berate. Every question. We've got a couple here to listen to, but at the same time, like, I'm telling you, it was the whole interview.
We're trying to make this a good team.
Well, you look like a really bad team through 2 weeks. I mean, I hate to say it, but you look like a terrible team. You're not good at anything. I mean, so you got a really good running back, and you got a good kicker who missed a field goal yesterday. But other than that, you don't look very good at anything. You can't get the ball in the end zone, and you can't stop anybody. That's a hard combination.
Well, those are things that we got to work on as we move forward.
That's awesome. Now, you may consider it disrespectful. That's the voice of the fan. Now, he's egomaniacal.
Of course. Because it's about him.
That's really why he's doing it. But that is the voice of the fan, and especially in that area. And you're right. No one does that to NFL coaches because he
I was entertained by it. But why? If you're a team, why are you putting your coach through that? You wouldn't. And it wasn't just – it's not just the questions because I think to a point I would support – the hard questions and like, hey, you guys agree to do it. You know what he does. You're not a good team. You're going into this. I could get behind it. But he would throw these things out there, and then Shurmur would start to answer. And it's not like he's making excuses. He'd start to try to come up with it. He'd be like, you just suck. You're just terrible. Like, dude, I'm trying to answer your question. Why are you talking over me every time? This is
ridiculous. You're playing the soft part of your
schedule. Do it.
You know, you're playing the soft part of your schedule. I mean, the games are going to get tougher here. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, you got the Bucks, you got the Redskins, winnable games. Yesterday's a game that at the start of the season you think is a winnable game. Then come the Vikings and the Pats and people like that. So, you know, the pool gets a little deeper here in a hurry. This season could be going into a nosedive very quickly here, which is not what you want to hear. But, I mean, obviously you know what's going on here. You're already 0-2, and things you got a lot of work to be – a lot of things to fix here in a hurry. I mean, a lot of things.
A lot to work on, and that's certainly what we're getting ourselves ready to do, play Tampa here.
What was the question?
Well, there's – we do it too. I mean,
I know we do.
There's statement interviewing.
We were like,
react to my statement. But you're right. It was the same statement like four times.
Right.
Like, just stop and let him answer.
Right.
And he's got nothing.
And he kept going. And this was before, by the way, this is before the decision was made to go to Daniel Jones. But he's like, all you got is, when's Eli Manning going to go to the bench? Once you answer that question, then it's going to be, hey, is this guy getting any better? That's the only storyline this team even has. And Trimmer's like, I guess so.
I'm sorry. I enjoyed that.
I'd enjoyed it too, but I'm saying if you're a team, you're not gonna continue to do this. There's no way.
And that guy gets mocked on all the time. Yeah, he falls asleep sometimes during the show. He's lost. I mean, he needs a computer. He's very arrogant, but that's why he was great at one point, and he still has the fastball left because he does not care. He'll go after if your team is terrible and you want to hide behind excuses. You don't want to do interviews. He's like, I don't care either, but I'm going to tell you what I think. Hang up. That's great sports radio.
The only time that there was ever a time when he allowed him to answer a question was when he took a huge chug of a Diet Coke, and Shermer actually got to talk. And I'm sure he's like, "Oh, I'm allowed to talk now." And then he finishes the Coke, and he's right back to just screaming about how they suck. It was insane. Like again, entertaining. Of course, I loved it. This is great. There was nothing I liked more this morning. That was my favorite part of the morning, is listening to his interview. But I completely understand the team being like, "No, we're not doing this anymore."
Top story.
Number one.
I find this Jalen Ramsey stuff completely fascinating. Jags, Titans tonight. Why is he playing?
I don't know.
I'm going to look at it from both sides, Adam. Why is the team letting him play, and why does he want to play?
I don't know on the answer to either of those.
The statement, they haven't come out publicly and said it. Reports are saying he's playing tonight, but he ain't going to be there by next Sunday.
Right.
Like, so much so that what happened with one of the teams that's interested? At least one?
A team inquired to the NFL about if they trade for him tomorrow, can he play tonight and then play Sunday?
Yes! Yes!
The league said no.
Why?
They said you can only play one game per week.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
And the week apparently goes Thursday to Monday. I would say, could you play Monday and Thursday? I guess so. That's a different week.
This is a you move.
Of course.
You absolutely would. You'd 100% want the answer.
Of course.
But you're like, hey, you know how much more his value is if we get him for an extra game?
Oh, I'm glad I saw the story because I actually was thinking that. Are you allowed to do it? And the NFL said, no, you can't. But I don't know why he's playing. What if he gets hurt? You're ruining his trade value, and you want to get rid of him anyway. Like, you've already decided to move on from him. I get why the Jaguars are doing it. The Jaguars actually, they're not done. Even though that they're selling him, it's not like they're out of it. They could compete, and they're looking at it like, hey, let's try to win this game.
Yeah.
And then if we're trading him, at least we got a win out of him for this game, and then still get draft picks out of it.
College breakdown in 20 minutes, a little fantasy football NFL breakdown with Lisa Ann. Brad Powers in 20 minutes. Lisa Ann is going to join us in less than 10 and get into some of these really important fantasy football questions as another week in the NFL begins.
It's the Big 5 at 4. Brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 570-9000.
Alec, you're a good sport. And I know I've been rough on you, but I also love you because, like Robert Kraft at a massage parlor, I want my roast to have a happy ending.
Live from Flamingo in Paradise, it's Cofield and Company from Silver Sevens Hotel and Casino.
De Niro's what, like 75? Still got it. Not like 100%, but that was a pretty good line about Bobby Kraft and the happy endings. All right, time to get into football, if I can say it. Fantasy football, and also, I don't know, somehow Lisa Ann from the adult film world and SiriusXM's fantasy channel has turned into like our medical expert. I don't know. It's weird. Lisa Ann, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I'm a little concerned now as an adult about mono. I don't know where this stuff came from, but my quarterback, Sam Darnold, has mono. What's the deal?
Yeah, this is a really tricky one, right? We don't hear this a lot later in life. Poor guy. You know, in any other job, you get to just say, hey, I'm sick, and your coworkers and the entire world does not get to know. But if you think about how many germs these players are exposed to when they come back to camp and get back in the grind of the season, as opposed to their off time when probably they're limiting their exposure. Now you're exposed to, 70 dudes in a locker room. There's got to be germs. But the girl with the sign, do you think if she actually had this type of interaction, she would have had better seats?
That's a good point.
I'm just saying.
Darnold seems ashamed. I mean, if she holds a sign up about me, she was like, I mean, she was like a New York 9. She's pretty solid.
Right.
I'd be proud of it.
You know, you'd be proud. You'd be like, all right, pat you on the back right there.
Let's do it.
The girl's got a sense of humor, and honestly, she's the type of girl we all want to hang out with. Can we find her?
I believe me, if we can hunt her down, I'm all over it. I don't mean that way, but
no, of course we don't.
Yes, yes.
But we have to be careful nowadays. I forget. We're living in a sensitive world.
Yes, the girlfriend could be listening. Chances are she's not. The other thing that freaked me out with the mono deal is Adam Gase, the coach of the Jets, is like, well, we gotta watch this because if the spleen burst, we're done. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, because it causes sensitivity in the spleen because that's what's processing the chemicals for the bacteria. My brother had mono when I was a kid. He missed school for like 3 months, which was, you know, annoying. You know, and your brother's home all the time. You want to take a day off from school and have some time alone. And I just remember him just being exhausted, and that's why I thought it was odd that they said, you know, 2 to 3 weeks he'll be out. Now, mind you, there's so many advances. These teams have incredible money, nutritionists, doctors. So quite possibly they're putting him in a vacuum and he's going to be miraculously healed. But are you really a Jets fan?
Yeah. It's been a long, hard run.
It is. Well, that just buffers you for the rest of life.
Yes. It kind of sets me up to be the bitter sports talk guy that you hear every day. Lisa Ann's on with us. I mean, like literally the mom next door that you'd want to. She has great advice. I mean, she's got stories like that about mono. But fantasy football advice. Ready? Let's look ahead a little bit on a couple of situations. I'm considering trading high. One, if you have Austin Eckler, do you move on him now?
Yeah, I want to get one or two more weeks out of him. I'm an Eckler owner, and I'm looking at Melvin Gordon as not potentially coming back till maybe week 6 through 9. Really, that's where his deadline would land for him to still be eligible for the reason that he took off this amount of time. I know that's... it's out there, but man, Eckler's just giving us so many points. Can you feel like it's time to let go? Or do you want to say, I want to get one or two more weeks out of him?
It's always a tough call in this situation.
I mean, I'm more willing to trade high on a wide receiver because they're so much easier to replace. If I had John Ross right now, I would be offering up trades like crazy because how long can Andy Dalton keep up a ratio where he's not matching interceptions to his touchdowns?
You wouldn't hold on to Antonio Brown, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would. At this point, okay. I really do feel this kid lives in a vacuum, and he is not going to get in trouble for anything. It just seems like everything is deflecting off of him. It's like he's rubber, we're glue, right? And now that he's in the Patriots system, I just feel like he's even more guarded. Brady's going to prove the point. They're going to prove the point. They're going to want him to get in the end zone every week because why else would they be going through this extra drama and nonsense? So it bumps me out for Josh Gordon because he looked so good week one, and I have some shares of him. I really didn't get any shares of Antonio Brown because when he was a Raider, I had one. I traded it away before I got to even use him with the Patriots. But, you know, it bums me out for Josh Gordon's value for us fantasy owners.
Lisa Ann does fantasy. She also does Friday Night Fantasy. Those are both on SiriusXM, and you can find her on Instagram and Twitter at The Real Lisa Ann. So I want to go through these new quarterbacks. I'm going to take out Teddy Bridgewater. So say I'm in a two-quarterback league.
Which I'm in so many, and it's brutal right now, isn't it?
And I need someone. I'm going to give you all these names. Ready?
Yep.
Luke Falk, Minshew, Kyle Allen, Daniel Jones, Mason Rudolph. What do we do? Which one?
I wrote him down. Okay. So I don't dislike Minshew. You know, he's been connecting with DJ Chark. He's super confident. We now know this. Probably the Nick Foles injury was the greatest thing to happen to those of us that didn't know about the dynamic person that is Gardner Minshew. So we celebrate this. And also, you know, I'm not afraid of Daniel Jones. I just don't want to start him right now. So if you can pick him up and sit him on your bench, you know, after the bye week, Golden Tate will be back for a suspension. I think he's going to be really the facilitator for some action. If you have Evan Ingram, you're great, but there's just not a lot of strong offense, and the defense isn't working that well for the Giants. And I think Eli being benched is one thing, but Daniel Jones stepping into a shaky situation is another. So I just want to wait till there's another strong positional player, but I would put him on my bench for sure.
Minshew mania also includes the mustache. Where are you on mustaches?
You know, it depends how a guy's wearing it, right? I mean, if you're wearing it to be funny about it, I think it's kind of great, right? I mean, his whole shtick, I mean, the getup he got out of the plane in last week, like, everything about it, I love this kind of stuff. I mean, it's just like when Fitzmagic came out after game 4 last season.
Oh, yeah.
It was just amazing. So this is all working for him. Now, you had sent me this article, and by the way, I was on Cam Soda last night. I was talking to my room about this, them offering this endorsement deal. Listen, somebody's got to take this role now that Steve Hirsch no longer has Vivid. And remember, Steve Hirsch used to be the person that we could rely on, Tan Mom, you know, all of these people that would surface through the fame of TMZ
right.
or what have
of course,
you.
Yes.
Steve Hirsch would offer them something. We'd all love it. We'd all picture what it would be like. It would never come to fruition, but it's brilliant marketing.
Are you an adult film historian like I am and so many of my listeners are? When did the mustache sort of disappear from the porn world on the guys?
You know, I made a hard left, like, I'd say 1990. Mm. I think they thought it was dragging over from the 80s. I missed it greatly. I thought it was awesome. I did get to experience the, you know, the big beginning of my career. There were still a lot of mullets in the business. And just the other night, my neighbor and I were going through some boxes of old photos of mine, something I always do when I'm putting together a book because it really helps you jog your memory. And she grabbed a photo and she's like, is that what a mullet looks like? I mean, she's 30, you know?
She's
young. And I'm like, yeah, and if you would have had that with the porn stash, I'm telling you right now, you would have been turned on. She's like, no, I wouldn't have. I'm like, it just went with porn. Yes, I'm a porn historian.
Well, yeah, there you go. What do you think of a big red mustache, like almost like barbershop quartet?
It depends where we're going. You know what I mean? If we're just, if I'm taking it at an event, it could be fun because you're going to look great as my sidekick in photos. That's one thing. If I'm taking you to work Radio Row with me at the NFL draft or something, I might reconsider.
Yeah. That's what I can grow. So.
But that'd be like Andy Dalton. If Andy Dalton grew it out, it would be like the red rocket on fire on his mouth.
Just a giant red mustache. All right. Let's do some props. William Hill, props today. This is essentially fantasy football.
Yep.
So let's get a read on first Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota. Over under 196.5 passing yards.
Under.
Makes sense. He's only averaging about 201 a game, and they don't throw a whole lot.
And they don't, and they don't really need to. This is going to be a Derrick Henry game for sure.
Leonard Fournette. This is low. Well, maybe not. Over under 67.5 rushing yards.
Oh, my gosh. That breaks my heart because of my fantasy football ownership. But I could see it happening, but I'm going over.
And then the Jags point total, over under 18.5 points for the Jags.
They're going to go over. That porn stash is going to get them over.
That's a key. All right. Minshew Mania. Last one, I got a special prop. This one, I believe, is offshore. But anyway, which 2-0 team will finish the regular season with the most wins? The favorites are the Patriots, but you can pick the Patriots, the Chiefs, the Rams, the Cowboys.
I will pick the Dallas Cowboys because I'm a Cowboys fan. It's been a long time since we started out 2-0.
And they're the best value at plus 350.
Ooh, good. I can make some money. Thanks.
You are a sharp. All right, Lisa Ann, tell the audience here in Vegas where they can hear your shows.
You can hear me Monday nights and Friday nights. Monday nights, Lisa Ann does Fantasy, 10 p.m. Eastern. Friday night, Fantasy, 8 p.m. Eastern. And you can play along with me at Bovada using my code BVLISA1000.
We appreciate the spot. We know you're, I won't tell the story, but you're working very hard. I personally appreciate you working to get these spots done because I know it's been a little bit of a hassle. Thank you so much.
It's so worth it. It's so worth it, yes. You guys. I'll talk to you next week. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the games.
You too. Lisa Ann, we like her. I think she really likes us. I'm telling you. I really do. Instagram, Twitter, at The Real Lisa Ann. Our football conversation today is brought to you by our friends over at Born and Raised. Football game specials include 350 on the Bud Light, and the Mick Ultra. Estrella Jalisco is also on special. Bucket specials on all those Bud products, plus Bon and Viv, Spike Seltzer buckets. And they've got a brand new Stoli Bloody Mary Mango Michelada. So take advantage of those specials at both Born and Raised locations, even the one on the Strip. But I know the two local locations have those specials. Eastern, St. Rose, and also on the west side of town. Warm Springs between Buffalo and Durango.
ESPN Las Vegas.
Hey, Raiders on three. 1, 2, 3.
Raiders.
Home of the Raiders fan. It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling.
I'm going to kill your bookmaker. I'm going to rip his throat out. I will step on his throat until the man chokes. Let me tell you how. Winners, 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 winners. Free, 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 free.
All right, we do this every Thursday. Brad Powers, pregame.com, and Fox Sports Radio National, straight out of Vegas, gives us the best 7-8 minutes of the week on college football. Brad, let's jump right into it. Georgia, Notre Dame, now it's pushed past 14.5 at William Hill. Dogs are favored, and the run game could be key here. Georgia's offensive line is freaking massive.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia's starting offensive line average weight, you know, 330 pounds nearly. Notre Dame's starting defensive line average weight about 273. So my third grade math is correct. That's nearly 60 pounds per man. And the stats back it up. Notre Dame has struggled defending the rush, and it's not like, you know, they've played teams like Georgia in the past. They've only played Louisville and New Mexico, and the Irish are giving up 230 rush yards per game. Now, Georgia hasn't faced the, 85 Bears yet, but certainly that's the strength of their offense, is their rush offense. I think just a big mismatch at the line of scrimmage. I think in the second half, Georgia wears out Notre Dame. I like the Bulldogs here.
Let's back it up a little bit. Let's get a Friday and a Thursday game in. There's a game tonight. Didn't Houston beat Tulane last year like 48-17, and now Tulane's favored by 4.5?
Yeah, it seems a little fishy. And keep in mind, Tulane in the previous 14 meetings between these two teams has been an underdog in all 14 meetings by an average of 16 points per game. So the first time in 15 years Tulane's been favored in this series. I think Tulane's getting a little too much love for, you know, blowing out FIU and catching Auburn when they're in a flat spot. I'm on Houston here, plus the points.
How good is Utah laying points in L.A., 3.5 at USC?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. I think Utah's, you know, right up there with Oregon as the top two teams in the Pac-12, but I think it's also a play against SC, and particularly Clay Helton. In the underdog role, USC head coach Clay Helton, 1-12 straight up, 2-11 against the spread. He's failing to cover the spread by an average of 10 points per game when he's in the underdog role. When SC can't out-athlete you and it comes down to X's and O's, Clay Helton can't get the job done.
I'm not sure I'm buying Air Force getting just 7 now. That line's come down. Boise minus 7 against the Falcons.
I agree with you. It's too light now at this point. I mean, Air Force coming off a very emotional win over Colorado. I mean, they hadn't played Colorado in nearly 50 years. Getting that win, and well, I think a little disrespect on Boise State. And keep in mind, Boise State only played an FCS opponent last week, so I got to think they put in some extra practice time to defend the option. At the current number, I like the Broncos.
Let's hit the Big Ten with Brad Powers, at Brad Powers 7 on Twitter. This one jumped up big time. Nebraska's all the way up to 13.5 at Illinois.
Yeah, I don't have strong confidence to lay that kind of number with Nebraska. Yes, they certainly finally looked the part last week against Northern Illinois in that blowout, and I get it, Illinois' last data point's not good, losing outright at home to Eastern Michigan, but I just, at 13.5, that's too many points to lay on the road with this Nebraska team that's kind of been uneven, especially they were the first 2 weeks.
Are we sleeping on Michigan getting 3.5 in this gigantic game against Wisconsin?
You know, I lean that way. It's, you know, almost stunning that we are sleeping on Michigan. But, I mean, let's face it. Just a couple weeks ago, this line was Michigan minus 7. Wisconsin's won 2 games. Michigan's won 2 games. And we've seen a 10-point adjustment here. I think Wisconsin's getting a little too low for that 110-0 combined score in their first 2 games. And I think we're throwing Michigan in the trash too much for that close, near-upset loss to Army. I'm almost on Michigan here, plus the 3.5. What concerns me, though, is Harbaugh's never been good in the underdog role, 0-6 at Michigan. He's never won a game as a dog.
I watched Northwestern in person last week. I didn't think they were very good, but this is, to me, ridiculous. Northwestern's a great dog team. They're at home. They're getting 9 now, tick down from 9.5 against Michigan State.
So I got a trend here for you, and bear with me, but I think it makes a lot of sense. I'm going to do my best to explain it here. So when you got a team like Michigan State laying a touchdown or more on the road, and you've got a low total, so there's not expected to be a lot of points, you're on the road and you're laying more than a touchdown, those teams all time, 43% against the spread. And we're talking about a 400-plus game sample size. Laying a touchdown or more with a total of 43 or less, that's the case here. It's saying fade Michigan State. I'm certainly on Northwestern here.
SEC, what's Florida got the rest of the year? This spot this weekend, I mean, they have dominated this rivalry, but they're laying 14, Gators against Tennessee.
Yeah, I think a rivalry game, and Tennessee, in my opinion, now has the better quarterback in Jarrett Garantano against Kyle Trask. So a big rivalry dog, got the better quarterback. I'm on the Volunteers here, plus 14.
You have a good read on the quarterback situation in the Kentucky, and this is both sides, Kentucky and Mississippi State?
Well, Tommy Stevens, you know, was a little bit banged up a couple weeks ago, played a little bit, was ineffective last week against Kansas State in a loss there. Kentucky, I mean, they're going to go with Sawyer Smith, who played for Wilson, who's out for the year. To me, it's almost a stay-away game because we have both teams with some quarterback question marks.
What's the right side with Texas A&M 3.5 against Auburn?
I'm going to lay it with a favorite. I mean, Texas A&M last 20 games just against the number, 16-4 against the spread. That's not too shabby, and I'm not sure I'm in the trusting mode yet of Bo Nix, the true freshman quarterback for Auburn. This is his first true road start. Keep in mind the Oregon game was played in Arlington, neutral site, and Auburn had the crowd edge in that one.
I am a moron. I fully admit that, but I'm going to keep going back to the well with Stanford. In this case, they've actually dominated the series recently. Well, dominated. They won 2 of 3. But they're getting 10.5 at home against Oregon?
Yeah, it's a big number. In fact, it's the largest home underdog role for Stanford since 2008. And speaking of Stanford and the home underdog role, 9-0 against the spread last 9 times, 8-1 straight up. So they've won 8 out of the 9 times they've been a home underdog straight up. Average cover by nearly 2 touchdowns a game. What the heck? Give me Stanford plus the big number.
Brad, about 20 seconds. Utah State, should they be favored by 4 at San Diego State?
Yeah, I think it's a little pricey. Keep in mind, when we just got done talking home underdog role for Stanford, well, San Diego State's really good also as a home dog. Since the last 6 years, home dog, they've covered all 4 times. They've won all 4 times in the home underdog role. It's a little too pricey for me. I'll take the Aztecs here plus the 4.
Brad, you're awesome. Thank you, man.
All right, take care, guys.
Brad Powers at BradPower7 on Twitter, also part of pregame.com, and you can hear him 5 days a week, especially during football season, Fox Sports Radio National, straight out of Vegas. Football's going down here in less than 20 minutes. Here is Silver Sevens, 2 great bars. Come on down, 277 on the drafts, 1177 on the buckets, and during the VGK game tonight, $1.77 bottles of Bud, Bud Light, and Michelob Ultra.